Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. While out in the woods on a hunting expedition with her family that includes her parents and her fiancé, Eva accidentally shoots her white hippie fiancé dead. Her parents insist on getting rid of the body in order to protect Eva. As the family collides with each other on what is the right thing to do, tension and long-buried secrets about the family's journey to America begin to surface. The film is called A Family Guide to Hunting, and it is funny and raucous and chaotic, and it's all the things that happen when families get together. The cast includes the one and only Margaret Cho, and joining us today to talk about this narrative short that's premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival, so you can seek it out by going to the Tribeca Film Festival website, and that would be director and co-screenwriter Zhao Wang, as well as one of the co-producers of the film, Joyce Liu Countryman. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you very much, Mike.
And thank you for being here. Really enjoyed the film a lot. It is a short narrative film, and as I said, it's at the Tribeca Film Festival for its premiere. And I love the way you're able to establish the characters quickly, and which allows us to get into the story. And I do want to, before I go much further, I want to point out the main characters in the film. The only four people actually in the film are Kong Sim, who plays Sam, Kyun Kim, who plays Eva, and Craig Newman, who plays Peter, the fiancé, and I already mentioned Margaret Cho, who plays June. And it is kind of establishing a bit of a character sketch before we get into the meat of the story. I thought it was done very effectively. Zhao, I know you were one of the co-writers of the film. Let's talk about the origin story for A Family Guide to Hunting.
You know, this started out actually as a feature idea. Kind of wrote this with my writing partner during the pandemic. I wrote a lot during the pandemic, so this was one of them. You know, I really wanted to do a film about an Asian American family, but in a setting that we have never seen before. And it is so rare. I'll take that back. I don't think we've ever seen an Asian family on a hunting trip in America. And, you know, growing up, part of my childhood in Mississippi, you know, I did that with my family. And I think, you know, Joyce had some experience as well. So it really started out with wanting to, you know, make something that we haven't seen before. And to tell a story about love, about family, that's centered around an Asian American family. In a way that's genre. You know, I love genre films. Using genre elements to tell a story that's thrilling and funny and also hopefully deeply moving.
Joyce Liu Countryman, producer, where did you come into this project?
So as an independent producer, I'm always looking for really great projects with elevated storytelling and with great talent that I want to work with. People I feel like are emerging, up and coming, going to make a splash. I feel like Zhao is someone who's going to make a splash. There's like no question about it. He's like breaking the boundaries. He's taking storytelling, being like, what is this? Let's do something different. And I was introduced to him through a mutual friend, read his script, and I was like, in. I met him. I loved him. And honestly, we are very much like siblings now. Like we love each other like siblings. We bicker like siblings. And I think that is a testament to a story about this family, because we have become a film family. And so, you know, that's how I came into it. I just was basically drawn to his talent, drawn to the story, and then it's just blossomed from there.
The production on something like this, and I'm always curious, I want to talk about the story, but I also, I'm interested in how, and especially in the short form, whether it be documentary or narrative, how does that work? Is it, now Margaret Cho is one of the executive producers, how does that sort of unfold? Is it a matter of she was shown the material, or how did she come into the process?
I'm going to warn you, I'm a big name dropper. So
okay.
I'm going to name drop Ken Jeong. So Ken and I have another project that we are working on, And I know he's very good friends with Margaret. And I said, I literally asked, texted Ken. I was like, we really want to reach out to Margaret for this. Can you connect me with her? And he said, yes. He's like, I love working with you. I love Margaret. I want to put you together. So he said, send her reps an email. Here's her email. Drop my name because it's Hollywood. And I did. I said, you know, and it's great because I kind of warned him. I was like, if she calls you or texts you, it's like, I sent her the email, which I think happened, is exactly what happened. You know, she got the blessing from Ken, said, we're good people and love the script because I think it's just, this is Margaret Cho comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
And she signed on to act, and we said, you know, we'd really love to include her at a deeper level. So we invited her to join us as an executive producer as well.
At what point did she say, I want to be in it?
Pretty quickly.
Okay.
Sent her the script. And then we actually went to backstage to one of her shows. And I think that was kind of like the, kind of the, what I call the crazy check. It's like, are you crazy or normal? And we passed the crazy check and she was in. It was surprisingly very relieved a lot of anxiety. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like this worked. Our crazy strategy worked. And like, she likes us and she likes the script. And yeah, it was pretty fast.
It's the Sally Fields. She likes me. She really.
Yeah, but I just want to add, you know, even, you know, Joyce makes it sound easy because she just makes things happen. But, I think, you know, even with the name, you know, the connection stuff, I think it's still about the material and about what we want to do with the film and why she is the right choice for this. I had always thought Margaret would be the only person to play this role. I that's how I envisioned the character. And if she didn't play it, we probably wouldn't have a film. And then once Joyce came on board, you know, we're like, well, we got to get to Margaret. And so, you know, we actually, even with the connections, we had to make the script speak for itself.
Yeah.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the story. It's about the filmmakers, who we are, what we want to do. And so, you know, we also drafted a letter, a very personal letter to Margaret, along with a script. So I think, you know, I think that the story spoke to her, and I think the letter must have helped. So I think that's how it got through the agents, the manager, and eventually to her. And that's, yeah, that's the middle portion of
yeah. That. I do want to talk about the cast. I mean, the interactions between the characters in the film that I thought were dynamic. And again, very much they put you in the frame of mind for the story that's going to be told. And I like that about this. I do want to let our listeners know that it's going to be screening at Tribeca Film Festival. Congratulations on being included at Tribeca as a narrative short. And I'm not finding my notes on the dates for the screenings.
We premiere on Friday the 14th.
Okay.
We have a second screening on Saturday. And because we sold out both of our screenings so quickly, they added a third one for Sunday.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And one more thing about Margaret and her involvement. I don't know the answer to this question. I don't know if she's done drama before. I mean, I know she's done sort of dark comedy, which I think this film is, but I don't know if she's ever done drama before, but watching her, this one kind of popped in my head. I think as a lot of really good actors who were comedians, who were stand-ups, the list is long and story, Tom Hanks, Michael Keaton, you go down the list of how many really good stand-ups have become really good dramatic actors.
Yeah.
And I think Margaret kind of hit me as like, you know, take a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always seen her as a comedian before, you know, even when I was little, watching her stand up on TV and, you know, she's just legendary comedian. And, you know, some of her TV shows and films have been sort of comedy roles. But I just knew that, you know, sometimes a great comedian is also a great dramatist, also a great drama actor, because it's about a very innate understanding of the human nature.
Yeah.
And the timing of dramatic beats, I think that's, you know, that's who she is. And yeah, so that's why when I, you know, wrote the story and thought of who could be playing the mom's role, you know, she's the one. And I think she's amazing in it. And just sort of treading that or straddling that comedy and drama And that's only something that I think someone of her caliber can do.
Again, it's a really long list of stand-ups who've become exceptional actors. I just saw the Albert Brooks documentary, Defending Your Life. Now he, towards the latter end of his career, he's become a really good dramatic actor. Yeah. And the list is really long. I mean, the people who have made that transition. And I do think there's something about exactly what you said, timing, understand. It's about pathos. It's also about reading a room. Now, I understand in a film, it's not exactly like being in a nightclub, but your ability to read the room with other actors in it, I think really helps these people. Their ear is tuned to what kind of feedback they're getting. And I think that really helps a lot.
Thing about stand-ups is that they lay themselves bare on stage.
Yes.
Right. And they make fun of themselves. And they are, they know every single little insecurity that they exploit for their comedy. And I think that actually makes for great vulnerability for dramatic acting, because you have to be that vulnerable. You have to be willing to kind of skewer yourself and lay yourself bare.
Right.
So
I think you're absolutely right. And with one, I mean, we could go on for hours about this, because it's something I really have given some thought to. And I go back to the origins of stand-up. And to me, the origins of stand-up, at least in Western civilization, were be the court jester going to the king and telling him the truth, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's pretty ballsy for somebody to walk into a room with a king who could have your head chopped off in a second.
Deliver.
Yeah, that's right. To tell him the truth, because that's what the court jester's role was during that period of time. Mm-hmm. There's something about that thing that I think is kind of is still with comedians and stand-ups.
That's so much courage.
Absolutely.
You think about that? That takes so much courage.
Yeah. Yeah. And you better be good at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, yeah. Otherwise you will have your head chopped off.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to the film again, I mean, there's a lot to be said for that. We've been talking about Margaret a lot, but she is great in this. And she's also the executive producer, A Family Guide to Hunting. It is premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival. You said June 14th, I believe. And it's sold out for the first couple of screenings. And now they're adding them on. And there you go. Fantastic. But everybody's good in this film. Kyung Kim is terrific as Eva. She's, I think, again, the interaction between her and Peter, played by Craig Newman, their characters kind of, again, play against type. I think a lot of what this film is about is playing against our expectations and type. Mm-hmm. And seeing that, since they're terrific and just very quick, again, very quickly establishing this kind of dynamic between the two of them. And I thought came off really well. And Dad, Kong Sim, who plays Sam, Dad. I love Dad. I love the first thing he says about loving the outfit that he's wearing. It's sort of a thing. I thought that was great. I just thought it was a really cool kind of, he's great. I don't know that I've seen him before.
You want to hear a funny story about that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
So funny story about the outfit. For the audition, he wore that outfit. we're looking at their audition tapes. We're like, what is this?
We got the tape, and suddenly there's somebody in a hunting outfit, a camel. Wow, this guy's dedicated. I love him. I love the dress, but I love him more.
We literally saw him. He's fantastic, obviously, right? He's fantastic. Yeah. And then his costume in the film was based on his audition. We're like, where do we go find that? We could go find that and buy that for costume.
That's awesome. That's fun. And there's one other element. I don't know if this is exactly an appropriate comparison, but the film and the story has a little bit of The Sixth Sense in it, a little tiny bit of.
I think that's fine. I think that's teasing it without giving away too much.
Okay. It has the pathos, as I said earlier, about comedy has pathos. So does drama. That's why we watch. That's why we care. We care. And that's the most important part. Yeah. Terrific. Terrific work. And congratulations on Tribeca. Who got the call? You've been accepted to Tribeca. Which one?
I got the call.
Okay.
Yeah, I got the call. I actually was in Tribeca about 10 years ago. Sort of my first short film that kind of opened all the doors for me. I know the programmer, and I, so when he emailed me and said, "Hey, you ready for a call? I'd love to chat real quick." And I was driving my family to Death Valley on an RV. And we had to like, oh my God, I'm getting a call. We gotta, I gotta talk to him. And so I pulled off in a Walmart parking lot somewhere in the middle of the desert. I called him,
That's awesome.
got the news. And then I called Joyce right away. I said, listen, there's a serious issue. We have to talk about this issue.
Yeah, so I made it like the sky was falling. We're all freaking out. We're like, what's going on? What?
Yeah.
So that's why you told her, like, oh, okay, yes. We're in Tribeca. Yeah, that's all. That's great. That's great. Well, congratulations. And I'll ask because I can. And so is there any long form narratives? What are you working on? You've got some doors opening here. And
yes, absolutely. Like I was saying earlier, this started out as a feature. And, you know, after the pandemic, I wanted to make something quick and right away to kind of test out this material. So that's why the short. And now we have some recognition behind it. And we're continue with the feature. So the feature is the next step. And because the short really in some ways informed a lot of the characters and these elements that was already in there in the feature. So we're enhancing the feature and making some adjustments. But yes, a feature version of A Family Guide to Hunting is next.
Well, congratulations. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Tribeca is coming up June 14th. It will be screening and there'll be additional screenings. You can go to the Tribeca Film Festival website. Do you want to send us to a particular website for you? Where do we want to go?
linktr.ee/afamilyguide2. So that'll take you to all our links. So it's going to be it's like a shopping center of like all our family guide links.
All the best to you at Tribeca. Have fun. To both of you, thank you so much. The film, again, is called A Family Guide to Hunting. We've been speaking with the director and co-writer, Zhao Wang, as well as the producer, and that would be Joyce Liu Countryman. So both of you, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Mike, this is fantastic.
What a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.